This podcast is made possible by your listener support and members of the Ralph Lowell Society. These most generous annual contributors lead the way in sustaining WGBH as a public media resource, available and free to all. WGBH.org/Ralph Lowell.
Here's another performance from WCRB in Boston. I'm Alan McClellan. There have been lots of memorable moments in our Fraser Performance Studio over the past few years, too many to count. But one that stands out for me is Sergei Shepkin's performance of a piece of program music by Bach. By program music, I mean music that tells a story. Bach didn't write very many pieces like that, so this one is really special. The Capriccio on the Departure of His Most Beloved Brother. Sergei Shepkin was here in the studio as Kathy Fuller's guest, with a studio audience at a special evening celebrating Bach's birthday in 2013. And what I remember about this is not just his stellar performance of this piece, but the way he was able to guide us through it before he played. Here's Sergei.
Bach supposedly wrote it on the departure of his older brother, Johann Jakob, who was 3 years older, who had volunteered as an oboe player into the band of the King of Sweden, Charles XII.
He was joining the army as an oboe player.
Yes. And this piece was supposedly written to send him off.
Well, let's follow the plot. So it's in six movements.
It's in six movements. And also, I should say that in 1704, when this piece was composed, Bach already knew the biblical sonatas of Johann Kuhnau. Incidentally, Kuhnau died in 1722, and Bach was the next, his successor as the cantor of the Church of St. Thomas in Leipzig.
So these biblical sonatas were also programmatic.
Programmatic, yes. There are six of them, and each of them is in several movements, I think ranging from, say, 3 to 8. And each of them is a musical representation. Actually, that's the exact title. Musical representations of several biblical stories.
That's an important point. We tend to think that everything began with Bach.
But that's right.
He didn't have every single original idea in the world.
And at that point, I think he probably fashioned himself as a bit of a modern composer. You know, it's it's only in the later years that he went against every trend of his time and was the great conservative, so to speak, and dismissed the music by his own sons as badinage.
Badinage. Okay, well then, so how does this begin? So we're gathered together, these are friends gathered together.
Yes,
right?
Well, the friends gather together and they indulge in cajoling the brother, Johann Jakob, so that he might abandon the idea.
So they try to talk him out of it.
They talk him out of it. That's right.
How does he show that in musically?
Well, it is a great example of a sad piece in a major key. You hear these entreating passages.
Yes, please don't go.
So that's the first movement. The second movement is, according to Bach, is a representation of various accidents that may befall the young man while abroad.
It's like what mothers say to children. Don't you realize what might happen? So how does he show that?
It is in a minor key, the tempo is faster, and it is a little fugue of sorts. So perhaps accidents build up on top of one another.
Does he moves into the wrong key?
He moves into the wrong keys. And it's also, as far as music history is concerned, there was a precedent much earlier in a work by Johann Jakob Froberger, who lived in the middle of the 17th century, who depicted his crossing the Rhine in 26 accidents.
That's great. Can you show one of the accidents, actually?
Actually, not only there are accidents, there are also a lot of accidentals.
And it's stern.
It's stern, that's yes. right, yeah.
So third movement?
Third movement is a general lamentation of France.
So they're all together, they're beginning to accept the fact?
No, they're not yet. No,
they're just crying.
No, they're just crying, they're weeping. And you know, and Bach, perhaps with a very slight touch of irony, employs all the paraphernalia of the pathetic musical language of the time. First, he puts it in a very dark key, F minor, which was not frequently used. Oh. And must have sounded very exotic on any of these instruments, actually, probably on those two, that are not in equal temperament.
Equal temperament, that's right. So they're tuned in such a way that F minor would sound particularly awful?
Well, let's try, perhaps. Oh, yeah.
Sounds out of tune. Tragic.
That's right. So, of course, you can't quite get the same flavor. Sorry, it's a wrong pitch. Let me transpose to the same pitch. But of course, you know, this is an E minor. You know, at A equals 415 hertz, but this is that A equals 440, which is Bach's key on paper. Yeah, so this is in fact a real lament. It is a passacaglia, meaning that it is a set of variations on an unchanging theme
the
in the bass.
Keeps,
that's right.
Keeps descending in
that's
that
right.
sad
so,
lament. And undeniably sad.
That's right. And it could also be completely chromatic, too. So there are 12 variations on this bass, right. And now also speaking of the pathetic vocabulary, there are also falling seconds, the so-called sighs.
Sighs. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure his brother would get the point.
Oh, absolutely. As would all of the contemporaries who were well-versed with the vocabulary of the era. Actually, sure. You know, you see, you can even find this this kind of language in Beethoven. Very much so, in fact. You know, the Pathetic Sonata employs much of the same.
Right.
So
so where can you go after such a festival of crying?
Then, you see, the friends know that there's nothing to be done, so they just throw in the towel. And that throwing in the towel is actually musically quite well represented. There is a little bit of a fugal writing here, and each of the friend after friends probably appears from a different corner of that room, and they're all running toward toward young Johann Jakob, and perhaps embracing him, and they bid him farewell. So this motif is going to be reproduced in all the voices. Sometimes in inversion. See, because you know, it's something coming from a different corner of the room. And so on. So then the next movement and the following movement, the last two movements, are really the sending off. And we don't know if he was really sent off by the postal coach, because it was a very expensive way of traveling.
The postal coach?
That's right, the postcoach.
The mail coach.
And both the fifth and sixth movements have the sound of the post horn in them. And it's represented by a very simple descending octave motive. So and the fifth movement is called the aria of the postillion. And the postillion is the guy who rides on one of the horses in front of the postal coach and sounds his horn so that everybody would get out of the way because you know, post coaches ran on a very tight schedule. Right. So it was very important to deliver the mail and whoever happens to ride in that carriage. And then Johan, that's right. You know, it's interesting that the Swedish army was at that point not in Sweden, but in Poland.
Oh.
So the journey probably would have been, you know, he didn't have to cross the Baltic in 26 or more accidents.
Right.
So
so we get the coach.
So we get... So that's the aria of the postillion. And then the final movement is a fugue.
Of course.
Of course, a real fugue, which is a bit of a tour de force because it's written essentially in just two keys, the tonic and the dominant, with one sole modulation into the key of D minor. Why D minor? You know, if you remember... some of the great works that are associated, that were written in the key of D minor, for example, the Mozart Requiem, or the first concerto by Brahms, or Beethoven's Ninth, you know, that was the key associated with death. And so death is lurking in the background, you know, so, but by and large, it's a very cheerful piece, and there is a happy ending, you know, we hope that everything is going to turn out well.
Does everything turn out well?
Oh, yeah.
He's okay?
He's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he joined the army. He participated in several battles as a band player. And then lived in Constantinople for about 9 years, studying flute with Buffardin, who was a very famous French flutist, and then retired to Stockholm. Unfortunately, he only lived to be 40. But he wasn't killed in the battle.
Wow.
Anyway, so to illustrate that it is actually a military piece, the theme of the fugue is a fanfare. And the counter subject reintroduces the postal horn.
Fantastic. Thank you for that tour. This is Sergei Shepkin, and this is the Capriccio on the departure of his most beloved brother, BWV 992. Thank you.
Sergei Shepkin, with an audience of WCRB supporters in our Fraser Performance Studio. He played Bach's Capriccio on the departure of his most beloved brother, after describing every moment in the piece in conversation with WCRB's Kathy Fuller. That's it for this week. Our thanks to engineer Antonio Oliart-Ross for today's recording. We're on Twitter or Facebook. Just look for WCRB and check out our website, classicalwcrb.org. I'm Alan McClellan. Thanks for listening.